mini camp, no longer OTAs, but 3 days of mini camp. And who better to talk about it than Tony and Ryan O'Halloran back for a repeat performance? I was all the way in New York, Ryan, and a word of your radio diatribe gold. Reached me. Yes.
I figured it was radio gold.
Radio gold.
My vow today was to focus on football, but welcome back, Dan.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be
back.
I
wasn't sure you were going to come back, Dan, with the Mets taking 3 or 4 from the Braves.
Yeah,
I thought
maybe
that would be enough to get you to stay up there and hope that the streak continued for another, 2 weeks of long vacation.
No, I'm pretty realistic about the ball club this year, but little moments are what you celebrate now, Tony. Opening day is still my highlight, watching Thor beat the Braves. That's about all I got, though. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not a team that's going to do.
Well, I was excited just because we had a young arm that didn't get blown up.
That's right. That's right.
On Saturday, so that's kind of a highlight of the Braves.
You pencil him into the rotation the rest of the year and see what he can do and grow.
Heck
hopefully,
yeah.
So anyway, so what is the boys? You guys are the experts. What is the biggest difference between OTAs and minicamp?
It'd be nothing.
Nothing.
unfortunately. And, that's the restriction they put in place. The only thing outside of it, it is mandatory.
Mandatory.
It is, you can be on the field twice a day, walk through, and a regular OTA type practice. And there's no restrictions in terms of you can be here, 10 hours for the entire day.
Mm-hmm.
It was before, I think maybe it was even maybe about half that. So, I don't think you're going to see a big difference. Intensity wise,
okay.
Do the coaches now say they got to be here? So I'm going to yell a little louder. Well, they've been yelling already.
Yeah.
So, but I think the key thing for the next 3 days is get through it without any more injuries. It looks like they've learned how to practice pretty smart. The guys who are injured now are the guys who were injured at the start of OTAs.
Okay.
And when I'm out there watching, you don't see a lot of guys off their feet. So continue that for the 3 days and then just get here till July 26th.
Is there any chance, and this often happens, I don't know if it happens in OTAs, but is there any chance, we had a great practice Tuesday, we had a great practice Wednesday, we're going bowling on Thursday, or we're going to a movie, or I let them go early?
If you were going to do that, it'd be last Friday, wouldn't it?
Gus did that 10th OTA.
Mm-hmm.
He may have sliced down the final mini camp practice a couple of times. I think he did it maybe once, maybe twice, just because it was so hot that it was counterproductive. Doesn't look like that's going to be an issue this week.
No.
I think they're going to get their 3 practices in, and they're going to say, you want to go bowling, you can go bowling on Friday.
That's so what the Brandon Albert story then, is that the main storyline that will follow? Is there anything else, Ryan and Tony, that grab your interest?
Well, I have about a list of 12 things if we're allowed to report the goings-on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Uh-oh, I'm getting you going again.
But I digress. With Albert is, okay, does he definitely show up today? I think the head coach made a nice move on Thursday when I asked him about it. He said, I'm going to take him at his word, which basically was going public saying, don't cross me.
Yeah.
Show up.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing would be, okay, if you're Albert, you're not going to be, worked hard. I mean, will he practice any of these three days? If he just gets in now, I would doubt he's a participant tomorrow.
Okay.
Because he's still getting the grass. So getting to visit with him, if he's made available, that's a major storyline. Next up, then you have Bortles this week. How has he felt about his OTA session?
Mm-hmm.
And then on Thursday is your first shot at the coordinators in 6 months. So there's a list of 50 questions for each of those guys. You hope to get around 9 of them in.
Okay. That's
it's like 5 minutes with each of them.
Okay.
It's going to be a whirlwind on Thursday.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to your conversation throughout the morning, and you can cover more of those questions that you want to ask those coaches, Rhino.
I will, Dan. Thank you.
All right, boys.
All right, there.
All right,
there he goes. Dan Hicken, Jeff Prosser. Weekday mornings here on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM from 6 to 10. They call it the drill. Ryan O'Halloran joining me. Mike Dempsey, he's out on vacation all week long. He's already up in Tennessee. I saw him tweeting out the pictures of crossing the Tennessee state line yesterday as he was heading up there and saying, "All ye who wear shoes, beware who enter here," as he crosses the border with Tennessee.
Didn't get that.
So,
shockingly.
He's just making fun of Tennessee. We like to do it around here. The no shoes, the mayonnaise, it's all in play when you cross the border. So that's with the Titans, right, taking a bit of a shot there at a rival fan base. As we get things started, we call it Jaguars today.
The gift to TJ. He attended the line of scrimmage. He broke free. Inside the 20-yard line. Inside the 10-yard line. TJ Yeldon reaching for the goal line. Touchdown, Jacksonville. TJ Yeldon, second and third effort for the score. Play clock is at 5 now for Manuel. Dropping. The Jags blitz. And they hit him as he lets it go. The ball is out. That ball is out. It is picked up. Or now Chris Clemens picks it up. Chris Clemens into the end zone. That's a touchdown for Jacksonville. Scoop and score by Clem. And the Jags are in the end zone again. Manuel, 4 of 10 so far on the day for 50 yards. He and the Bills will start from their own 20-yard line. 14-3 Jacksonville. 12-21 to play in the half. TJ looks. Fires it to the right. That's picked off. Kelvin Smith has picked it off. Kelvin running it back. That's a touchdown for the Jaguars on back-to-back defensive play. Second down and 5, 2:30 to play. Under center is Bortles. Play fake. Blake running to the left now. Stays behind the line. Fires toward the end zone. One down. Hearns diving attempt. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Hearns, a diving touchdown catch.
Awesome, awesome environment. And to our fans back in Jacksonville, too. I mean, I know they were watching and listening, so we appreciate them. And this was an unbelievable environment. To see it at the end, I don't know if I caught all of it, but I could hear them. Just a great environment.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Tony Smith and Ryan O'Halloran.
I've already pissed off Doom.
I'm sure you have. I had forgotten E.J. Manuel played that whole game that they won the first time they won that game in London.
And the Jaguars still thank him.
Yeah, and I know, yeah, Blake had that late pick. That was just kind of that floater ball, the balloon ball that got picked off. And then the Bills took that lead, and Blake brought it back down. That was the wonder catch there by Allen Hearns in the end zone. So in the end, happy memories.
Yeah, that was their first win over there on their third trip. I want to say that improved them to, I think they were 1-6 going into that game, maybe 1-7.
Something like that.
Bad. But so what was that, 15?
Yeah, that was 15.
Okay.
Yeah, that was October of 2015. I'm just, the E.J. Manuel thing lit up a light bulb in my brain. I just wanted to look at his stats from that game. 24 of 42, 298, with 2 touchdowns and 2 picks. You heard one of the picks there. Also, the fumble recovery there for Chris Clemens, your favorite guy in that Jaguars locker room with the scoop and score for the Jags in that one as they got the win 34-31.
Which just showed that if a football lands at your feet, everybody knows how to pick it up and score.
Likely, yeah. That's something you work on in practice, right? Ball at your feet, pick it up and go.
When he showed up, when he did practice, he practiced that.
I'm sure he did throughout his long NFL career. We got a lot to get into today. We are going to get into the mini camp. We no longer have to call it OTAs. It is the veteran mini camp. Everyone is required to be here. And as the story came out on Friday following the final OTA, Brandon Albert is expected to be here and reporting for the mandatory mini camp. So that's obviously a storyline we'll talk about a little bit today. As Ryan O'Halloran in with us, we'll talk about some of the other stories that should develop over the course of the next 3 days, at least as much as they possibly can. At a practice session like we have at minicamp. So,
interrupt you for a second here. Yeah. We got a first tweet today, which has upset me. Big Phil 904. The culture is this is directed at me. The culture is changing for this team, and unfortunately, you played a part in the old culture.
What does
enlighten
that mean?
Me, Tony?
What the heck does that mean? Like, what part did he think you played in the old culture?
You know what I play in this culture is I bring happiness.
you bring the joy. I like. That doesn't make much sense. Like, is he talking about people being negative about the team too much, and now we should be more positive because TC is back and Doug Marrone's the heck? Like, I don't understand exactly what he's talking about. You've certainly never been a rah-rah guy, Ryan.
being a real guy.
Despite the raw nickname
yeah.
that you've been given, you're certainly not a rah-rah guy. I've always thought you as a realist. I'll call you a realist as opposed to a pessimist.
And I always go back, was it 15 and 48, 15 and 43 last 4 years? You know, eventually you run out of things to put lipstick on a pig. And you start looking at, okay, this is not working. And, you know, until we're proven otherwise, it will remain skeptical. And I was, you know, I was trying to go through Peter King's opus this morning, which you got to bring your lunch. And he said, you know, in 30 NFL markets, except for the Browns and 49ers, all you talk is this fake news about playoffs. You don't hear a lot of that here.
No.
I think a realism has gripped the fan base where if they can make incremental improvements, if they can go from 3-13 to 7-9, if they can manage to get 500, that would be judged as a successful season and successful progress. Rich, if you're a fan right now, that's all you want to see. You want to see your investment equal some progress, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Because right now, all you got at that tunnel is hope.
Yeah, there's no way to paint, you know, the last 4 years as anything but bad. I mean, it's been really bad. The Jaguars have been one of the worst teams in the NFL over the course of the last 4 years. Hopefully they get something going in 2017. Dempsey was talking about being out at an event last week where he was talking to some fans that were saying, to the point that you're making there, Ryan, where they just want to see some kind of improvement from this franchise, they'd be happy with 6 wins,
mm-hmm.
which is nuts. To think that you have beaten down any portion of any fan base to the point where they would feel like 6 wins is something to celebrate at all.
That surprised me because, I mean, you're doubling your win total, but still you're probably going to be a last place team. And you're still and it would be yet another year of double digit losses. So it would extend that streak since 11.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be what, 7 straight years? Yeah, straight years. So, it's almost like now that fans locally, which is, and I totally agree with them, and also nationally, is they're trying to lower their own expectations because they don't want to be disappointed again. You know, well, if I think they're going to go 6-10, then I won't be distraught when they go 5-11.
You know, yeah,
because
maybe.
I didn't expect much.
Yeah, maybe.
So, but hey, this is a show me game right now. I mean,
it's a show me business.
Yeah, this team needs to start better so they can get some more people in these stands to create a home field advantage.
Yeah, and we'll talk about some of the stories that, look, obviously we're not going to have answers to a lot of the questions we have until we get to September and the real football starts being played on the regular Sundays in the league. But we do have questions that we'll talk about today as we do get ready for the minicamp. So we'll preview minicamp coming up over the course of the next 3 days. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships question of the day today asking you, now that we know Albert will be here or is at least expected to be here tomorrow, who are the Jags' 5 opening day offensive linemen? As there's been a lot of news here in the last couple weeks that could have changed your opinion on that. Linder getting some time at guard during the OTAs. Do you buy into him playing guard in 2017 for the Jacksonville Jaguars? We'll get some of your answers to that. You can tweet us at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Ryan O'Halloran, or you can check us out on the Facebook page as well, facebook.com/Jaguars Today. We'll get to some of your responses a little bit later on in the program. Obviously, offensive line going to be something we talk about a bunch today as we get rolling. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today. Ryan O'Halloran alongside Mike Dempsey off all week long, out on vacation. We'll get back into some of the mini camp, exactly some of the storylines that we think will develop over the course of the next 3 days as we get rolling here on a Monday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Do you expect Brandon Albert to be here?
He told me he's going to be here. So, I mean, I take him for his word, so we'll see.
All right, there you heard it from Coach Doug Marrone as Brandon Albert expected to be here as the mandatory portion of the offseason. It's 3 days long, and it begins tomorrow here in Jacksonville.
Players are going to be start trickling in at noon today. You know, they can, you know, minister a physical if they need to. With Albert, the thing is the conditioning test. You know, if he passes that, then they can sort of wean him in the rest of the week. I got a prediction right. I mean, this offseason I'm probably 2 for 695, but I was pretty adamant, pretty confident that he would be a participant this week because he has no leverage. He lost his leverage when they drafted Cam Robinson because before that night, Brandon Albert's probably saying, well, they're going to cave. I'm a left tackle. I have experience. They got to give me something.
Or at least they might.
Yeah. I can show up whenever and I'll be the starter. That changed in the second round when they took Cam Robinson 34th overall. Albert's camp stuck to their beliefs. But, you know, the total fines would have been $76,000 over 3 days. That's 1% of his salary this year. I get that. But also, if you're Albert, you got to look at the big picture. What's the best way for me to get that money? That's to be on a roster in week one. This roster when it becomes guaranteed. So show up today. You don't got to act like you're happy to be here. You don't have to act like everything's okay. But the fact that you do show up, you can start your road to be a starter in week one, because if he's not a starter, why keep him? And obviously, if he's here, I don't know if he wants to play in Jacksonville, but he wants that $8.5 million.
There ain't no doubt about
that.
And
so he's going to suck it up and then get through the season. So I think when he shows up today, it'll be a positive sign. If he doesn't,
oh,
tomorrow is going to be awesome.
I would be stunned at this point if Brandon Albert decides not to show up for the mandatory minicamp. I mean, like you said at the start of the show, I mean, that's a coach sending a real salvo if you do not wind up coming in for camp tomorrow.
Also, somebody else, my guy, Big Phil 904, I would not want Ryan around my young players. Well, have fun with that. Asking them about, they're fully aware of how much this team has sucked before they got here, believe me. With the Albert thing, let's say hypothetically, if he doesn't show up, you're allowed to ask one of the favorite questions you can ever ask to a coach or player. I can just say, hey, Doug, Brandon Albert. Go. There's no question.
No, it's just respond to the situation, please. And look, it sounds like he's going to be here. I think we'd both be really surprised. You know, I was thinking the whole time, because we've talked about those kind of fine situations before, where once a player comes in, they just waive the fines, that they're just happy they're here. Teams don't have to do that. I wish they wouldn't do it as much as they do, but they usually do. In those kind of situations, especially if it's a guy that you're expecting to come in and be the starter. With Albert, my question about him being in for this week was less about whether or not it was the beginning of the road for him to be a starter or even the money that he'd be fined for the 3 days. It was about, as a guy who's been around the league that long and he hasn't been to any of the OTAs to this point, does he really want to bother with 3 days of a mini camp where he's not going to be able to do all that much anyway, or would he rather just stay home and wait for the team to kind of waive that fine? I thought he may fall more on that side, not as a protest against the contract at that point, but just as a protest of, look, I've been around the league long enough, I'm going to have myself ready.
I think by showing up only for this week, he sort of knows, okay, I'm not going to be put through the ringer.
Sure.
So if he didn't want to practice, he's probably going to get his wish on that. But I think you, at some point, if you're the employee, you have to show a little bit of meet you in the middle. And here's my key thing, and in case Carl Lyon has pounded this home a lot accurately on the afternoon show, he's not played a snap here. You know, a lot of these guys haven't even met him before. So,
right.
You know, it would be one thing if you were productive for this team for 2 and 3 years and maybe you're playing a little bit below market value and you told the Jaguars, hey, I know we haven't won games, but I've been productive. I'm holding out. I'm not showing up. Guys in the locker room would say, well, yeah, he busted his butt, blah, blah, blah. They don't know anything about this guy. So I think from Albert's standpoint, being a veteran player, I think it's a smart move to come in. You don't got to worry about the fine stuff. You're here, but also – your goal should be to start week one somewhere, be it here or another team. I think the best route to do that is to be here this week, so at least you can show a little bit of want to.
No, I agree with you. I thought the whole time, look, you play whatever hand you have. And his hand, as you said, it got a lot worse when the Jaguars made the decision to draft Cam Robinson. He didn't have a bunch of leverage anyway at that point, because the Jags are holding $8.5 million for this season, and they can do with that what they want to do. And they're not going to just flat-out release you. No one's going to trade for you at this point. The Jaguars felt like they got a bargain by being able to get you for a seventh-round pick at that kind of salary. That's why they made that trade. And it felt like Albert, I don't know, it didn't feel like any conversation was had between the team and Albert that made it sound like the team was going to be willing to do anything about that deal to put guaranteed money up front.
That's one of the key questions tomorrow. If the Jaguars are proactive, they get Albert out there, get it out of the way. Questions for Brandon Albert. Did they promise you they would rework your deal? Okay. If you say, okay, if he says, no, I didn't get that promise, the next question is, why didn't you show up? Okay. If you say, well, that's my approach, I like working out on my own, I say, okay, that's fair. Okay. Why weren't you, why do you regret not being more communicative with Doug Marrone? He says, yes. Okay. Then we're getting somewhere. The curveball is if he does say, hey, when I came here in February, they promised they would make a rework my deal and extend me. Well, now you're getting into a he said thing. Well, that's when you go to Dave Caldwell, who was adamant, never going to do it. So I'd be surprised if Brandon took that route, because you don't want to show up, be the last guy to show up, and also accuse your employer of lying to you. I don't think you want to go down that road right away.
No.
So those questions will be asked. They're not sarcastic questions. They're real questions, and so those will be asked.
Yeah, and they should be as soon as Brandon Albert's made available to speak about those things. And look, my sense of the situation, I'm not sure if yours is the same, is the organization was, to some degree at least, kind of caught off guard when the story came up that Brandon Albert, wanted to renegotiate that contract. I don't think they were surprised that Brandon Albert would want the contract renegotiated. Anyone who looks at it shouldn't be surprised, right? A guy was basically a day away from being a free agent, and he was going to get some kind of guaranteed money up front. Instead, a team traded for him. I'm not surprised that Brandon Albert wants part of that money guaranteed up front. It was surprising when it came out. It was after he had been here. It was after he had stood up there with that uniform in front of all the media and done all that. It was weeks after that that this story kind of arose. Then there was no sniff of that before that happened.
Yeah, and that's like when people ask me about that in other markets, about this Albert thing, what people don't know is that he did come here twice. He did visit in February before the trade was even completed.
Yeah.
If that visit had not gone well, there would not have been a trade.
No.
He came back in March and had his press conference and was all smiles, talked about leading by example, blah, blah, blah. So, one thing to ask him tomorrow, it's sort of been my theory, is he saw all the guaranteed money that guys older than him got, guys who he felt probably aren't as good of a player. And he probably said, okay, where's mine? I'm more established. Maybe I got bad advice. I rushed to judgment. If he would have been cut by the Dolphins, would he have gotten a Khalil-type deal, a Whitworth-type deal in the open market? Maybe, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Because he was a guy who was cut, not a free agent. So, we're all speculating on what was his motive, what was swimming into his head, and hopefully we get some answers so that – and this should be the Jaguars' goal, excuse me, this week is he's in the house, he does his media, he – I don't care if he practices or not. That so you get to late July and this is behind them. And you're talking about – the next time I talk to Brandon Albert about stuff, it's going to be – you've solidified yourself as number one tackle. How are you approaching this season getting ready for Houston? That's the storyline. Not July 27th when he's here and it's all about what's happened in the offseason. So, get it clarified now so you can only look forward to Houston.
Sure. And that brings up the idea of what the starting offensive line for this Jaguars team is going to look like. I at least have assumed, I think that you have as well, that Brandon Albert was eventually going to be here, and when he got here, he was going to be the left tackle for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The question comes in when...
Now the new layer.
Yeah, it's what they've been doing for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, with Brandon Linder out there at OTAs after he talked to us and told us, yeah, he's been getting some reps at guard and getting that work again. And to me, at the time, it felt like a basically the team is saying to AJ Cann, this feels to me like a message to AJ Cann, but it feels like one that is saying, AJ, can you play guard for us better than Luke Bowenko can play center? Because if you can't play guard for us better than Luke Bowenko can play center,
or Shatley,
yeah, then we're going to put one of those guys in there at that spot, and Brandon Leonard's going to be playing where you have been playing, yeah, because he's good enough to do both. And they're just trying to figure out some way to get whatever the best options are of what they have onto the football field right now.
I mean, Leonard took – when we're – they might – yeah, let's put it this way. Leonard took some center reps on Friday when we're out there. Yeah. If they want to sue me, sue me. But
well, he can play both. It's, yeah, not like it's a big shock that we all know Brandon Leonard can play center or guard.
So one of the reasons why I wish this was open this week for at least a day, because I like the fans, they're my readers, is it would allow us to sort of, okay, lay out, okay, who lined up where.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're Doug Marone, do you go into this week saying, okay, I want to continue the experimentation with my interior linemen, or do I want to send them off for 6 week vacation with a little bit of a C plan in their head? This is the spot you're going to be when camp starts. Does he try to have it more consistent during the 3 days? This guy at center, this guy at right guard. Can's been at left guard pretty much the whole time. Parnell at right tackle. Do you even entertain the thought of Cam Robinson getting some interior reps before training camp starts? Would you do that this week? You know, so the longer it goes on, the more we keep guessing.
Yeah, and I want to get into that with you. And really, the kind of chess piece in that thing, outside of Brandon Linder and what they're going to do with him, I still get my gut feeling is still that he's going to be playing center for this football team. But outside of that, they haven't really taken a look at Cam Robinson, likely where he's going to be playing on this offensive line yet. So that'll be a question not only for the next 3 days, but obviously as we get into training camp and they're trying to figure out exactly what that offensive line is going to look like when they go to Houston, it's going to be a huge question mark.
And maybe I'm in the minority here. I still think it's going to be Omame or Watford or right guard. They have experience. You didn't draft one. You didn't go after anybody in free agency outside of re-signing Patrick and bringing Earl in on a very, you know, minimal deal. So if you're committed, I mean, the AJ back to left side thing, because he did it in college, to me it looks like a Hail Mary, mm-hmm, to get him back on track, because he was okay at right guard as a rookie.
He just
had a bad year last year. So flip him over to the left side. Maybe that'll turn it on. And, you know, then go with one of these guys at right guard. When camp starts, you would think that's when the experimentation ends, but we've never covered a Doug Marone training camp before, so we don't know.
No, and we don't know, you know, with the options they have right now, can the experimentation end? When you get to training camp with the options they have right now, we'll talk about that. Obviously, the big question there, though, is you moved up in the second round to go get Cam Robinson. That's a second-round draft pick on an offensive line that obviously has a couple of big gaps. Where does he fit into it now with Brandon Albert coming in? We'll talk about that as we continue along. We'll get into that on the other side. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, revolvers, semi-auto pistols, rifles, shotguns, tactical rifles. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the United States. Guaranteed. That's where you can trade your gold for guns. Visit them at gunsforjax.com or on South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville, 904-693-0777. We'll continue along. Ryan O'Halloran and Fat Tony here with you on a Monday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today. Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you. If you're tuning in just to hear Dempsey, well, you got to wait a week. He'll be back with us next Monday as he's on vacation. Mike and I, we don't take very many days off, but we each try to get about a week during the off season before we head back into training camp, which is, 6 weeks away, I think, from today, which means we're not that far away from the NFL regular season. We're, 9-10 Sundays from yesterday? Probably away from the NFL regular season getting rolling. I mean, the calendar turns quick.
So. It does. the draft feels like it was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But so this week will become another landmark, then it's then you start counting down until camp.
No doubt. Doug Marrone spoke on Friday after the final of the 10 OTAs for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was asked about the progression of his offensive tackles.
I think from an assignment standpoint, which I think you can really evaluate during this time, I think they've done a nice job. I think from a movement standpoint, they've done a nice job. Whether they've done, have they progressed to play football in full equipment, I can't answer that, you know. But, you know, they've gotten better in the things that you should get better at during OTAs. Are they better? Are they good enough for us to go out there and play and win with? I can't answer that question until we put pads on.
Exactly, a glowing endorsement there.
There hadn't been a whole lot of glowing endorsements, honestly, from Marrone through the 3 weeks of the OTAs. I don't think that's his style.
Yeah, well, you sort of figure you can roll out the ball and have a couple guys.
These guys are going to be ready to play. Yeah.
So, you know, did mention any specific names there. I mean, Jeremy Parnell's their guy. They love him. He's their right tackle until proven otherwise. Unpopular opinion for me on Cam Robinson, if you want to go into that real quick.
Let's do this first, all right, before we get to your unpopular opinion.
I have nothing to add on what he said because he said nothing.
Yeah, but on Cam Robinson, let's go through some percentages here from you, Ryan. All right, just the percentage chance, second-round pick of the Jacksonville Jaguars with this offensive line, what is the chance that Cam Robinson is one of the five starting linemen on opening day?
If Albert is here...
which we expected.
Overall, Robinson week one starter, 20%.
20%.
Yeah. So that's going to be reflective in my other percentages coming up.
Right. So left tackle with Brandon Albert being here, I would expect to be very low then.
20%.
20%. So left guard.
Zero.
Center.
Zero.
Right guard.
Zero.
Right tackle.
Zero.
Even with your opinion on Parnell.
Yes.
No chance that he wins that spot.
My opinion doesn't matter. and here's where I'm going against the grain. If Cam Robinson is your second round pick, does not start week one at his best position, I don't think that is a failure. If they feel that getting him as many tackle reps as humanly possible is the best way to develop him to be a long-term guy at tackle in this league, that's the plan they should take. Maybe they just don't feel he is a guard. They've never mentioned that. We've created that. I take total blame for that. I played a part in that. But they've never said, hey, we're going to get him. He's an option inside if Brandon Albert reports and is in shape and wins that job. Maybe in their mind, they took Cam Robinson figuring, okay, we have to have a contingency plan if Albert doesn't show up. And also, he's probably a one-year guy. And he's too big. He's too good, Robinson is, to pass on him. So that's, you know, will work out that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it never usually does how you predict it, but that's guessing what they're thinking.
Could part of the reasoning, at least part of it, be with them not talking about Cam Robinson playing anything but left tackle to this point? Could part of that be if Brandon Albert's not here, he's not here? And we just have to assume right now that Brandon Albert's not here, so we're going to treat it like he's not a part of the team right now. Now that he is, do you think the conversation changes about the way they want to use Cam Robinson?
It could, but it shouldn't have taken that because this is a veteran coaching staff. This is a veteran football front office that they had to figure that Brandon would have shown up for at least the start of regular training camp and been a part of the mix. Every coach says, they talk out of both sides of their mouth, every coach ever. We only got to worry about today. I'm not worried about tomorrow. But also, you got to think about long term. You know, today, the guy wasn't here, Brandon Albert. Long term is, if you really think Cam Robinson is one of your best five guys, you got to cross train him. And that's what they've done with the other guys inside. So that subplot keeps developing, and it keeps getting more interesting as long as he doesn't work. Like, let's say the first week of camp, once they put pads on, and him and Brandon Albert are rotating snaps with the first team left tackle and second team left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that is either he's not in their plans at guard, or they're taking a hell of a gamble that he can make that transition like that. As Luke Jokel showed last year, it doesn't happen overnight because he was just starting to maybe inch around that corner when he tore his ACL. First game against Green Bay, really rough. So I've always thought that if Robinson really was in their plans as a guard option, that he would at least be getting some reps. Maybe when we're not there, he's getting a ton. But it doesn't feel that way.
So with that being said, then why wouldn't you think that Cam Robinson, with Albert being here, why would you feel like he doesn't get the chance to compete for that right tackle spot then?
Well, they've never mentioned it yet. That's for starters. They've been adamant about him being a part of the left tackle mix. If he's going to be active on game day, he's got to have to learn how to play some right tackle and learn some of those techniques. So I think that would come later. Their opinion of Jeremy Parnell is a lot different than mine and others.
Sure.
So it's almost like they have, you know, it almost like Linder and Parnell aren't issues for them. I agree. Brandon Linder isn't an issue. I think he just should be the center.
Yeah.
I think that's 100% for week one. So, but that would have been what I would have done when I drafted him. I thought they were a little too emotional that night, saying that, well, he's going to be a left tackle. He's going to compete. And then I would have said, he's going to be we got three offensive tackles we feel we can start. We're going to let them battle it out, and the best two are going to start.
Is it you qualified it as a miss if Cam Robinson isn't playing left tackle? Is it a bigger miss?
I guess I wouldn't panic if he's not your week one left tackle. I wouldn't panic if he's not on the field week one.
But is it a bigger miss in that kind of sense? And that's kind of where I was going. In that kind of sense, with the level of talent they have in that room right now, and, you know, you add a guy, you made the move to go get him. It was obviously the guy you wanted, right? Because you made the move. You could have gotten Feeney. You could have gotten whatever the heck you wanted to do. Lamp at that spot, if you were just going for a guard, you probably would have gone with a guy like Forrest Lamp. So that does fit into the left tackle narrative a little bit more. But it's they made the move to go get the guy that they wanted on a team that has had the issues that they've had on that offensive line for the last several years. Is it a bigger miss if he's not playing left tackle or if he's not playing at all? It just feels like a guy who's being drafted in the second round by this team, there's not enough guys on the roster that it would make sense that they can keep him off the field week one somewhere.
He could suck at guard. That's the thing is if an elite left, a guy they think could be a very good left tackle may not be able to play guard. Sometimes it doesn't work, so maybe they decide that. But here's the other thing is the offensive line problems that we have talked about, written about, took calls about ad nauseum for at least several years, they don't think it's not to the level that they think it's a problem, which is amazing to me, but that's their prerogative. And they may feel that Brandon Linder's the center, fine, that's where he should be. They feel A.J. Cann should be a better left guard. Okay, they made that move. Right guard is somebody like Omame or Watford or Shatley or Bowenko. That's the route they're going to take. I would have handled it differently in the draft. Even if I was in charge and said, tell me you're drafting Robinson, I still would have considered a guard in the third round. Was Feeney still there?
Yeah, he was still there when they took Smoot.
I would have given Pat Flaherty some options instead of, you know, Omame. It's a retread. Watford, second team. His old team didn't want him. Let him walk. Feeney and Lamp are both going to start at both guard spots for the Chargers. They're playing crystallized. Jaguars playing, you sort of can't really tell what's going on yet.
What are the odds? Okay, if you put it at a 1 in 5 chance that Cam Robinson is the opening day starter at left tackle for the Jags, if that is what happens. All right, and again, we're projecting a ton here because we haven't even seen, you know, Brandon Albert on in a uniform yet for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and nobody's worn a pad yet for this team. Even that won't happen until training camp. So if it does work out that way, where Cam Robinson, opening day, he's the left tackle because he beats out Brandon Albert for that spot, is Brandon Albert playing inside, or is he just the guy that's now a swing tackle for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
If they're getting ready for that Carolina preseason game, which is the third one, and they make an announcement that Cam Robinson is their left tackle for Houston and Brandon Albert's not a starter, there's no reason to keep him. You make a couple calls a couple weeks ahead of time. Let's say a week ahead of time you sort of know that's where you're going. Before you make that decision of announcing a starter, you're calling teams that are a little banged up, maybe have some cap space, need to add a veteran, and said, hey, we need a seventh. We traded our seventh. We want a seventh back, and let's throw in a conditional in case he starts every game. That's what you do because Brandon Elbert at that salary is too much for a backup. And really, with a guy who hasn't shown up yet, is that somebody you really want around?
Right. Look, to me, a guy that you invest a second-round pick in, I think with the level of offensive line play they have, he has to be playing opening day somewhere on that
line. My mystery is why is he can't get in a right tackle mix? Maybe they're really holding that underneath their hat. They're going to unveil that when the practices are open.
Maybe.
But to me, it's like if at the very least, Cam Robinson is going to be your swing tackle on game day. He's got to be ready to play a little bit of right tackle.
Man, I would want more. A guy that I spent
this a second. Going 10-6.
I would want more
no holes.
Than the guy to be the swing tackle, for me at least. We've seen it work where you draft a guy like that and he plays inside for a year and then he moves back out. So we don't know that that can work for Cam Robinson. And you're right, they haven't talked about it being something that's really part of the plan yet. That's all been on our part just guessing at what it should be because I think a lot of people like me are assuming that you invest that in that guy, he needs to be playing football for you somewhere.
And maybe I'm splitting hairs too much on this, but everybody's going to compare him to Laramie Tunsil and Jonathan Ogden. Jonathan Ogden's a Hall of Famer. He was drafted at the top of the draft, a freak of nature.
And Tunsil, if he hadn't had a picture of him in a gas mask, yeah.
So those guys, let's say both top five talents, Cam Robinson was in the second round. I think maybe the expectation should be shifted a little bit. I gave my percentages. If they come out this week and say, hey, this is what we're doing with Cam Robinson, okay, now it's clicking in. But I make these projections based on the information that we have at hand.
Sure. And look, I think it is fair when you talk about Ogden and Tunsil to say that Cam Robinson, while a really good prospect, you don't get drafted in the second round if you're not a good prospect in the league, but not quite the same kind of prospect that Ogden and Tunsil were.
If a team in the first round liked him a lot and said, okay, we're going to take him now. He's going to play left guard for this year, but we really think he's going to be a good left tackle. He would have been gone in round one.
Probably.
And that's maybe what the Jags were thinking. You know, they say they're
well, if the Jags were picking 18, and maybe that's the way the Jags are thinking about it. We just don't know it. If the Jags were picking 18, would Cam Robinson have been the guy that they were centered in on at that spot, right? Like, we don't know. That's kind of the mystery of the draft every year. We want to know your starting offensive lineman for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's the fan feedback question of the day today. From left to right, who are the five that you think will be the opening day starters for the Jaguars? We'll get to some of your answers to that a little bit later on, as well as solidify what Ryan's answer to that would be, as well as mine, a little bit later on in the program. We got the Honda Drive around the NFL, as well as this date in football, and coming up next, it is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history, not very much going on the birthday scene. We'll get to a couple of those here in just a moment for you to guess at, Ryan. But a couple of newsy things did happen. One very unfortunate on this day in NFL history. Steve Young did retire from the NFL on this date in 2000. Steve Young made 7 Pro Bowls with the 49ers, including 2 league MVPs, going 91-33 in 13 seasons as a starter in San Francisco, including, obviously, the Super Bowl win following the 94 season against San Diego, threw 6 touchdowns and a 49-26 win, inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2005.
And for if you're a football fan, I'd recommend his book. I read it. It came out this past season. Pretty good. Not a lot of biographies like that are good, but a lot of insight into how much he had to duel with Montana and stuff like that. So, I mean, obviously a great player, and he had to wait for his chance.
And this is it's a straight bio?
Yep, I is used. Obviously, it looked like he had a really good ghostwriter, so, and it mentioned it was Jeff Benedict, I think. But, okay. But yeah, it was a good read.
In a much sadder story, on this date in 1994, a story still being dissected, unfortunately, unfolded. Nicole Brown Simpson, Ronald Goldman were both murdered outside of Nicole's Los Angeles home. As we all know, O.J. Simpson was acquitted of their murder, but was held liable in a civil suit later. If you have not taken the time to watch ESPN's 30 for 30, the O.J. Made in America yet, do yourself a favor. Even if you're not all that interested in the O.J. case, it is fascinating to watch that thing unfold, and they go back to, you know, when O.J. was a teenager, basically, all the way through him eventually being put in prison for the assaulting people at gunpoint in a hotel room.
That's awesome. The FX series, The People versus O.J. Simpson, that's terrific.
Yep.
I can't get enough of it. I'll read everything about it.
Yeah, O.J. is... And we talk about, like, the Aaron Hernandez thing. This was, you know, that level. It was an even bigger level. O.J. Simpson was a megastar.
Mm-hmm. Terrible broadcaster, but they'd keep on putting him on TV.
No, but he was funny. Like, he was doing movies that everyone knew, right? It was...
Make a gun.
Right, he was doing stuff, and everyone knew who O.J. was. The first 2,000-yard rusher in NFL history. This big, giant, likable character in America, and to watch this unfold, and it's something that is still, again, we're still finding layers of this story. Like, we still don't know what Kardashian had in that bag. Mm. And I don't know that we'll ever know what Kardashian had in that bag that OJ gave him, but the veins on this thing continue to grow. It is one of the most interesting, obviously, legal cases in American history with the way the whole thing played out. Yeah.
I'm
some people
right now,
convinced
I'm
they would have won that trial, as Stephen A. Smith said, despite the fact that he has no lawyer experience. A couple birthdays on this date as well. Again, not much going on here. But a two-time Pro Bowler with the San Francisco 49ers, speaking of the 49ers in the 80s, how old is Carlton Williamson today?
62.
He is a 59. Not a bad guess, considering I could tell you had really no idea who that guy was.
I played. Was he number 27 for the Niners?
I do not know. I can
I was
look.
Trying to remember.
Yes, he was.
Yay!
Two-time Pro Bowler, two-time Super Bowl
winner.
Yeah. You know what? I'll take 2 years off your guess, so that gets you within 1 year, because you knew the jersey number.
There we go.
And there you go. You nailed
Counts.
It. Finally, one last one here. Actually, a guy that we all know well. Dallas Clark played 9 of his 11 years in Indianapolis. How old is Dallas Clark today?
36.
38. Pretty close. Can you name, he played 9 of those 11 years in Indy. Do you know the other two teams he played for?
Denver and Baltimore?
It was Baltimore, and I need to look it up. I forgot.
Was it Kansas City?
Tampa. It was Tampa.
Tampa.
He played a year in Tampa, because I can remember him in the pewter and red. That is this date in football history.
I'll tell you right now, I'm not even a lawyer. I'd have won that trial.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, guys, Jeremy Maclin, the recently released Kansas City Chief, he's expected to decide between the Ravens and the Bills today. That, according to NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, the 29-year-old was a surprise cut by the Chiefs at the beginning of this month. He caught 44 passes for just over 500 yards and only 2 touchdowns last season, after dropping from nearly 90 catches and over 1,008 scores in 2015. Raiders running back Marshawn Lynch had the top-selling jersey in the NFL for the month of May. Tom Brady, the Super Bowl MVP, was number 2, followed by the Cowboys duo of Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott at 3 and 4, and Texans rookie cornerback Deshaun Watson was number 5. Some other notables in the top 25, Pittsburgh rookie running back James Conner at number 11, and a new, or excuse me, recently extended Pats wide receiver Julian Edelman at number 16, and free agent quarterback Colin Kaepernick at number 17. Raiders quarterback Derek Carr is still trying to figure out and work out a contract extension with his current club, the Raiders. Carr wanted it done a while ago, expecting it to be done around draft time. And NFL Network Ian Rappaport reported on Friday on the NFL Network's Up to the Minute live show that if and when the Raiders do lock up their franchise quarterback, he could make up to $25 million per year. That would make him the first quarterback to ever make $25 million a year in the league. Colts signal caller Andrew Luck currently makes 24.6, leading the quarterback group. A couple more stories here, guys. A couple guys have weight incentives for weigh-ins coming up later on today and tomorrow. Seahawks running back Eddie Lacy has his second Seattle weigh-in today. If he weighs 250 pounds or less, he gets $55,000. A guy who had interest here in Jacksonville, Dontari Poe of the Atlanta Falcons, has a weigh-in tomorrow. If he weighs less than 340 pounds, he gets a whopping $125,000. A total of $500K is riding on Poe's weight this year. He has 3 more of those weigh-ins for $125,000 each. If he weighs in at less than 330 at the start of training camp, at the start of the regular season, as well as in November. So got to keep that weight down for Poe below 330, and he'll make $125,000 each of those weigh-in times.
I was going to ask you, so the last 3 weigh-ins are all the same weight?
Correct, at 330. He's got to be below 330 at the start of camp, regular season, and also in November.
So he's just got to maintain his weight.
Well, I mean, he's going to go through an Atlanta, Georgia, summer camp.
Right.
I mean, that should help the cause.
Honestly, I don't begrudge these guys making the kind of money they do. Hearing that a guy's going to get a check for $100,000 for being the right weight kind of bothers me. Like, that story, for whatever reason, that bothers me. I don't care if he gets paid $10 million a year. That doesn't bother me at all. Having to bribe the guy to make weight so that you can pay him the $10 million, for whatever reason, that needles me a little bit with these guys. And Eddie Lacy, he's going to go get some China food as soon as he hits that weigh-in and maybe go back north of it. I know the first weigh-in he had, I can't even remember what he had to be at, but he was just under the number. And I'm like, you're such a big dude. Like, you ought to be at whatever number they want you at now. Like, it'd be so easy for that guy to lose that kind of weight if you just put in a little bit of effort. It's that kind of stuff frustrates me.
Dondari Poe was listed at 346 last year.
Wow.
Why do they want him at 330? Like, whatever. That's for the Falcons to figure out. Like I said, it bothers me a little bit, those stories. And I don't care how much these guys get paid. That doesn't bother you at all, Ryan? I mean, $100,000 to just be ready to do your job at a respectable weight? Come on.
The pole one is a little more interesting because they basically don't trust him to even maintain it. So they got to make him an incentive. The Lacy thing is, hey, it's always been a problem. That's why he's here. See if he can hit some benchmarks under our plan. The Poe thing is, they just want to babysit him.
Yeah.
And that's pretty pathetic.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that at all. But for the first one.
You
got one more, Tyler?
Yeah, for the first one, Tony, you mentioned he barely made it. He weighed in at 253. The limit was 255. So, yeah, just barely making that first one.
I mean, 255 pounds. What are you doing?
He was at 267 apparently this offseason. 267.
I mean, what are you doing? You're a professional athlete. Have a little bit of self-respect, dude. You're playing running back in the league. You're not going to do it at 270 pounds. What are you thinking if you're Eddie Lacy? But whatever, that's a Seattle Seahawks problem. It's not a Jaguars problem.
Jaguars got enough problems.
They got a big boy who can carry his way to 240, 245 if they wanted it to, but he's probably going to play much lighter than that in Leonard Fournette. We'll talk about maybe some Fournette, but some of the other big storylines going into the minicamp. We've talked a lot about the offensive line with Brandon Albert coming in. Where does Cam Robinson fit into that? At least in your opinion, Ryan, he's got about a 20% chance to start at left tackle, and he's not going to play anywhere else on opening day. We'll see if that changes over the course of even the next couple days with Brandon Albert finally reporting, if they change the way they talk about Cam Robinson and the way they want to use him a little bit. But obviously a bunch of other stories going into the minicamp. We'll break down some of the bigger ones coming up over the next 3 days as the mandatory portion. Everyone should be here starting tomorrow, including left tackle Brandon Albert. We'll hear from Doug Marrone after practice tomorrow. He's also going to join us here on the program on Jaguars Today tomorrow in the 11 o'clock hour. We're expecting him to be in studio at about 11:30. So we'll talk to head coach Doug Marrone tomorrow about minicamp, but we'll give you our thoughts on what we expect to come out of the next 3 days of practice for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ryan O'Halloran and Fat Tony here with you on a Wild West Guns and Golden Monday here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
This is the quarterback here at Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with you on a Wild West Guns and Golden Monday on Jaguars Today. They are North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories. You can check them out at Guns4Jacks, guns4jacks.com, located on South Lane Avenue. You can give them a call, 904-693-0777. As we get into some of the other storylines, we talked a lot about the offensive line over the course of the next really 2 months and exactly what that's going to shake out to be. Brandon Albert expected to be in for mandatory minicamp starting tomorrow. And over the course of the next 3 days, some of the other major storylines coming into it, we'll get into that here in just a moment. This weekend, the sports stand, Denny Thompson, James Coleman were out at Malik Jackson had a kids camp over at University Christian. It was football and soccer that they were doing out at the camp, but Malik Jackson as well as some other players sat down with them, including Calais Campbell. And one of the things Calais was talked about is he is one of the big storylines, obviously, for the Jaguars this offseason. Talked about trying to build that winning culture here in Jacksonville.
You know, my first step was really just getting to know the guys, you know, trying to earn their respect. You know, you come in, you know, I always admired, you know, the guys I played with in Arizona, like a Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald's the hardest working guy you ever see. You know, I mean, he's always grinding. You know, he's 14-year vet now, going to his 14th year this year. He's still grinding the same way he did when he's a rookie, I assume. I mean, I got there when he was going to year five. And I got a lot of respect for that kind of grind. You know, I see the way he works. It made me want to work harder. So first thing I want to do is come and establish a good work ethic and show the boys, you know, that in order to be a Pro Bowler or whatever you want to be, you know, you got to put the work in. It ain't going to just happen.
Another guy you mentioned when I asked him about that last week was Darnell Dockett, obviously familiar around here. And he's paying it forward, and you can already tell. He said he's had some conversations, a lot of younger guys, and guys' reputations around the league spread quickly. And I'm sure a lot of the players here, there were holdovers when they signed Campbell. Their buddies told him, "Hey, you're getting a guy who's going to lead the unit, lead the locker room, lead the defense." So, you know, unlike Hacker. I have high expectations for Calais Campbell. I think he is going to be productive. I think he is here more here than to just be a leader. I think he's going to provide a lot of playmaking ability inside and outside at end.
I think he can. Look, I think it's
just a leader.
I think it's interesting. Look, this is the first offseason since Dave Caldwell has been here now. We can't say Caldwell and Bradley, but the first offseason since Dave Caldwell has been here that it seems like there was a real emphasis put on not only adding, you know, guys who can provide that leadership, the veteran leadership that they talk about so much in a locker room. But Calais Campbell and Barry Church can still play. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're just adding, say, like a Clemens. I don't know how much Clemens still had to give you on the football field. I know he's a guy who knows the position, right?
Yeah. He bonded with one guy.
Yeah, he's the Leo.
Yeah.
They're introducing that position in Jacksonville. Among the guys that were available to him, it made sense to go get Clemens to kind of be the guy to bring that position in for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Calais Campbell is a guy that's playing football still at a Pro Bowl level. Plus, he has all these leadership qualities. I don't think we know what it looks like. Even if they were running the exact same defense that they've been running for the last 4 years when Bradley got here, I don't think we know what it looks like when you have a guy playing that, quote, big end spot that can rush the passer. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't...
Red Bryant didn't do it.
No, Audric was okay, but he wasn't really a pass rusher. He was there as a run stuffer. Mm-hmm. Alualu, not really a pass rusher. He's a really good guy against the run. Calais can give you that against the run. I don't think we know what it looks like in this defense to have a guy at that spot that can go get the passer yet.
Sure, and you know when free agency started, I mean, it sort of feels like the Jaguars were bidding against themselves for A.J. Boye. I mean, there are other teams in it, but you always felt the Jaguars were going to get him.
If they wanted him, they were going to have him.
Yeah. Campbell, Denver really wanted him. Had, you know, talks were pretty intense. Arizona would have liked to keep him, couldn't afford, you know, didn't have room for him. So, to me, that's they got a guy that other teams wanted, that shows you he can still play.
Sure. And we'll start there since we're talking about the defensive line and maybe the defense in general as we get ready for minicamp over the course of the next several days. Obviously, Calais Campbell and what he's going to add to that group as a pass rusher, the leadership, all that stuff, that's something that we've talked about a lot. Outside of that, on the defensive side of the ball, what are the top two or three storylines you're looking at the next week?
The next week, it's... Do they feel Miles Jack made a lot of progress this month in the last, you know, 6 weeks? You know, were the mental errors prominent or were they isolated like they should be at this time of year? How did Posluszny, do they feel like he made a decent transition to the strong side spot? Okay, those are two at linebacker. Secondary, Church
hasn't
practiced.
We won't know anything about safety, yeah.
Gibson hasn't practiced. Ramsey's missed a couple of practices. Colvin hasn't practiced. Boye missed the first couple weeks. So with them, it's like, we'll take care of you in July. Haven't seen you. So and then up front, I think one of the storylines for this defensive line is, what does the next step look like for Dante Fowler, and is he capable of taking it? They need him to be a better, more diverse pass rusher. He's probably not going to start. You know, Ngakoue is going to go in the year as a starter. He's earned that right. Probably better against the run at this point, more prepared to play that position, but have all the things that Dante's done, can he make that year two post ACL leap?
Yeah, that's with the conversation about Yannick Ngakoue coming in last year out of that draft, that there would even at any point in the first 2 years there'd be a sentence that Yannick Ngakoue is probably better against the run right now than Dante Fowler. I don't know that he is or isn't. I know
Better
that he's worked really, really hard on that aspect of his game, and that's why he has been the starter for all but one game in his rookie season. Have you heard, sticking with that, have you heard any buzz? I mean, it's not like we're getting all kinds of access or can see all that much about what's going on out there at practice, but any kind of buzz about Dante Fowler going from year two to year three?
Well, Marone was asked him about him last week, and it really, you had to read his comment and listen to it again, and then you read the tea leaves, which I know they don't like you to do, read between the lines, which I know they don't like you to do, but is he happy with him or is he not? He mentioned that, is it a challenge? Do they want him at a specific weight? Does he want to weigh less? Does he feel if he puts on the weight they want, he'll lose some explosiveness? So are they in a tug of war there? He said he's working hard and that kind of stuff, but the jury on that one's going to be out for a couple months.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm with you. I don't think we'll find out until training camp and we get into preseason and really get a look. I know, you know, guys like DeRocco, when we get the chance to talk to him, he always points to...
Oh, everybody's great.
But he points to, you know, when they go up to practice against New England, does that expose Dante Fowler? And whatever hype we may build up for Dante Fowler over the first couple weeks of training camp,
Maybe not New England. I don't want, if I'm the Jags, I sit him out against Tampa. I don't want him going against DeMar Dotson again. You lost him for the entire season.
It certainly felt like he did.
We were predicted they're going to go up to New England, these joint practices. Mm-hmm. And
are you heading up there with them?
Oh, yeah. I'll be up there the whole week. And probably not going to go well. If New England wants to flex its muscles. So the next week they have another joint practice. Don't be surprised if some guys just sit out the two Tampa practices, because you'll have two New England practices. You'll have a taste of the game. Then they have another game coming up. That's a lot of contact for your starters. Maybe that'll be a chance to get the younger guys some practice time against another opponent.
Maybe. On the other side of the ball, talking about the defense there, but on the offensive side of the ball, obviously, look, Blake Bortles is the A-prime number one storyline for this football team. There's absolutely no doubt about it. But outside of Blake Bortles and whatever limited things we can learn about him over the course of not only the last 3 weeks but the next 3 days at minicamp, some of the other offensive stories that you're keeping an eye on.
Receiver, how's it going to shake out? Is Allen Robinson, after the season, said, hey, maybe I got to do a better job of fighting through some adversity, be it a bad call, a non-call, guys cover me a certain way, et cetera. Bad passes being thrown his way.
Sure.
If he goes in the camp, I think he's going to be a motivated player without an extension. I think he'll be really motivated and give a great camp. Do they realize that he is their best guy and they need to get him involved from the first series of the first quarter of the first game and make sure he gets to certain numbers, make sure he's given chances to change a game instead of saying, well, we want to make him a decoy. We want to throw it to Marquise. And when you throw it at Hearns, make Robinson the focal point of your passing game. After that, where does Hearns fit in as a slot? Is he a slot only? Marquise Lee, can they get him to stretch the field? D.D. Westbrook hasn't practiced in a couple weeks. We've all seen that with rookie receivers here, how that impacts them going forward. He has a lot to learn. He has a lot of catching up to do in terms of getting on the field. Those are your four guys. Does Rashad Green, can he win the punt return job to win a job on the roster? But going back to the top of the depth chart, is Ken Robinson not so much return to the form he had 2 years ago, but can he take another level and just be a consistent guy that doesn't go 165 and then 30 in a span of 2 weeks, but every week? And drops weren't a problem, I don't think. But can he be a 1A type guy?
It was less to me without, I mean, he had the one kind of drop where he deflected it up into the air in the end zone and it wound up being an interception. I don't know that I thought drops were as much a problem for Allen Robinson last year as he had opportunities to make the same kind of plays he made in 2015 and just didn't make them.
Yeah, I mean, he probably did. He leave some yards on the field.
And I don't know that I classify him as drops. I get it that those are, you know, he made so many 50-50 plays in 2015 that you thought, all right, this is the type of player he's going to be.
Those
and it didn't look
out.
Like it last year. Yeah.
They evened out. And, you know, can they – and it felt like he didn't make a lot of those plays because he didn't get as many chances. I mean, you look back in the 2015, we thought he caught a lot of those 50-50 ones because he had so many chances. Those chances really disappeared early last season because I think your quarterback was so afraid to make mistakes. They basically said, manage the game. This guy's not a game manager. He's a gunslinger. And a lot of those passes, Allen Robinson 2 years ago, were thrown up for grabs.
Now, with that being said, look, it feels like this entire offseason plan with what you just said has been designed to make Blake a game manager. Is he that? Can he be that and be effective in this league?
I think that storyline is the biggest piece of hogwash I've ever seen. That's saying something. This thing where you want to take the ball out of Blake's hands, he's going to have to make plays. There are going to be times where this offensive line is not going to be able to run it, and they're going to have to throw it 35, 40 times in a game. This stuff about, well, we only want to throw it 15 to 20 times in non-third down situations, give me a break. He still has to make plays. He's still got to rip it, throw it downfield. And the interceptions, this is almost like I almost expect those to happen by now. Just don't do the stupid ones that return for touchdowns and make some bigger touchdown plays.
Now, sticking with Blake here for a moment, there's only so much that we can tell or see in the last 3 weeks, and there's certainly not all that much we can talk about. But just your sense going through this offseason up to this point, I know that we've talked to you before where you have said that you feel pretty confident about Blake for the upcoming season, think he's going to have a good year. Do you still have that feeling?
Well, fence, Tony. the positive for when we see the full offensive practice, it looks like they're at least are running the right stuff. There are not a lot of operational errors, which are key at this time. So what they're being taught is they're absorbing. I've always reserved opinion on Bortles because he's never been good in practice. Brandon Allen is always going to look better in practice than Blake Bortles. The ball looks – spirals are better. Accuracy probably there, but where you started looking at Blake is in those preseason games. Last year, great preseason.
He did.
And didn't mean anything. And so once the training camp practices start, I'll write down the completions, I'll write down the drops and the bad throws, but it really doesn't mean a lot. I don't think it means a lot in the preseason, and it only starts to mean something in week one.
Yeah, and
with that player.
Not a whole lot you can tell about first-round pick Leonard Fournette without pads on, and we're not going to be able to tell much. But the storyline with him at this time of year, I guess, would be about what kind of receiver he might be.
And that was a positive from the other day, and this is a positive. You can tell his comfort level is growing when he does catch it. And if I'm the Jaguars, I emphasize that because it's almost like a free touch is – and I asked Leonard about that earlier this offseason. He sort of agreed. He said, hey, get him in the open field, limits his pounding, lets him make him some big plays because he's made some cuts and changes directions in the open field this year. In this offseason program, we haven't seen from any running back that's I've covered here.
Yeah, look, and I don't know why LSU didn't do it. You know, I don't know why LSU didn't. Maybe it's because defenses were so keyed in on Leonard Fournette that there was no such thing as getting Leonard Fournette in open space. But if
motion.
If you're going to tell me that from a Jaguars perspective, I can throw the ball in the flat to Chris Ivory, TJ Yeldon, Leonard Fournette, or one of these tight ends, it's a pretty easy decision for me that I want to see Fournette in that kind of space with his physical ability and his combination of that size and speed with somebody in open space having to deal with that guy. That's what I want to see.
I would love for them to make a regular part of this offense as long as they don't defend it great is Leonard Fournette on a wheel route where he catches it in stride with a full head of steam.
Now, that's something we've never seen him
against
do.
Against the safety.
Yeah.
And to me, that's curtains. I found it interesting, and it was when Orgeron was on with us at the TPC. He said, well, we're going to do that this year. Maybe they were planning on that last year when they fired Les, and then Fournette got banged up. But and like you said, it never happened. But I think Fournette is obviously a quick study his entire football life. So I think he's embracing this because, like I said before, it's another chance for him to make plays. And what would you take? Let's say the Jaguars, you know, win a game and it's Fournette has 19 carries and 6 catches. Mm. Well, that's 25 touches, but yeah. it's a healthier 25 touches.
Yeah, it is. You mentioned Rashad Greene. Just a quick note on him. Do you believe his only path to making this roster is to be the starting punt returner?
No.
Okay.
But barely. The Walters release was good news for Rashad Greene. but let's say they've previous regime kept, let's say they kept six, Robinson, Lee, Hearns, Westbrook, Ben's going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, is that room for Rashad as a sixth guy? That would be a sixth guy.
Yeah, that would be the sixth guy.
If they keep five, he's in trouble because that means having Dede is your punt returner.
Or if they're going to keep a, if they're going to keep another sixth, right, outside of Rashad Green, yeah, is there a guy to keep our eye on? One of those undrafted guys, and Edetawo or somebody.
Maybe
like that?
Him. That would be the only guy. You know, that's when camp will reveal itself. It's, but it's not like it's not like previous years where Allen Hurns shined, or Rashad, you know, shined early as a late round pick. So the other thing that go in consideration is, are they going to keep four tailbacks still? Are they going to keep just one fullback? Are they going to keep three tight ends? I mean, the roster mechanics change because of the presence of a fullback or two.
No doubt about it. That's Ryan O'Halloran. I'm Fat Tony. We'll get into your feedback as our question of the day today, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships, asking, who do you think the starting five offensive linemen will be for the Jags? We've asked that question before, but the news has changed with Brandon Linder getting moved around a little bit in that interior of the offensive line. Where do you think he lands? Brandon Albert now being in for the Jacksonville Jaguars, or at least expected to be starting tomorrow for the mandatory portion of the offseason. How do you think that starting five shakes out? We'll get some of your answers coming up here in just a moment as we continue with Golden Monday here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Mike Dempsey here for my friends at Dandy Sandwiches and Subs. First day of my vacation, what did I do? I loaded up the cooler and I hit the road with a bunch of Dandy sandwiches. The selection, that's really up to me. They've got the classic tuna salad. I love that. The Cuban sandwich, it's been their claim to fame for over 60 years. Really, they've got something for every taste, whether it's a road trip or you're headed to the beach for the weekend, maybe your kid's ball game. Whatever the case, if you're hungry for food on the go, Dandy is the name to know. And in the month of June, the sandwich to know is the ultimate Italian. Capicola ham, Genoa salami, pepperoni, mozzarella. Doesn't that sound delicious? Put that on a delicious Parmesan roll, and you're in business for only $3.99 at participating Circle K locations all across the First Coast. It's the Dandy Sandwich of the Month. But as I said, if you don't like the ultimate Italian, guaranteed Dandy's got something that's right up your alley when it comes to taste, freshness, and the price that always puts a smile on your face. Eat well, eat Dandy when you're hungry for food on the go. The only name you need to know, that's Dandy Sandwiches and Subs. Go out and make yours a Dandy today.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, got a few more minutes here on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday edition. Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with you, and we'll get to what you're going to be writing over the course of the next few days here in just a moment, Ryan, is you got three more days of work before you hit the vacation trail.
Yeah, for a little bit, yeah. Maybe pop in, pop out. But, yeah, so it'll be good to recharge a little bit.
Hey, man, yeah. We all need it this time of year, especially, I think, you know, you get the time leading up to the draft that obviously kind of takes care of itself. Then you get the offseason, the OTAs, whatever they're worth. But you get that for at least, you know, this month, basically the offseason. And now, if there's a real downtime in the NFL in the offseason, it's after your whatever team you're covering actually finishes up the mini camp, and you have that 5 or 6 weeks before training camp really gets rolling. That's really, if there is any downtime in the NFL, it's that period where obviously the number one storyline you want to hear about your football team in that 5 weeks is that there is no storyline.
Yes.
You don't want anybody to appear on a byline anywhere.
Yeah.
You want silence, radio silence from your team for a
we'll
month.
We'll have stories. Hopefully it's not about making an appearance at 8 a.m.
No, you don't want anything like that going on. We do have one giveaway today. We got a family four-pack of tickets to the Celebrity Home Run Derby. They're calling it the First Pitch Walk-Off for Charity. That's coming up on June 23rd. So that's about a week and a half away over at the baseball grounds at Jacksonville. It'll be at 5:30 p.m. If you want to get your hands on those tickets, you can right now. Just be caller number 3 at 641-1010 to get a family four-pack of tickets to come check out some celebrities here from local hitting some home runs, and you can heckle them from the crowd if that's how you choose to use those tickets.
And I hear Mike Dempsey may be a participant.
He might be.
Might be.
I think he was trying to duck it if he could. But I think eventually he did agree to be a part of the Home Run Derby. Though I am not sure You can ask him for a live report from Dollywood about whether he's going to participate in that or not, as he and the family going through Dollywood up there in West Tennessee today. So Dempsey will be back with us next Monday. We can ask him ourselves when he gets back if he's going to be a part of that or not. Today, our fan feedback question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, asking you a question that we've asked before in this offseason, but who do you expect the starting five offensive linemen to be for the Jacksonville Jaguars this year? With the Albert news, the Linder news here in the last couple weeks, wanted to see if the pulse has changed at all from the fan base, at least. The answers we got today on Twitter, Jag fan said, going from left to right, Albert, Can, Linder, Robinson in at right guard, and then Parnell at right tackle. From Zoltan against Houston, he's got, let's see, Robinson at left tackle, Omame left guard, Linder at center, Can, Parnell, the right side of the line. From Earl, Albert, Robinson, Bowenko, Linder in at right guard, and Parnell. So obviously there's not a whole lot of...
Not good. I don't think it's good that there's not a consensus.
No. next up, Jarrell, Albert, Robinson, Bowenko, Linder, and Parnell. That's the first repeat entry we got. From Jay, Albert, Robinson, Linder, Can, Parnell. Again, another different one there. From Stewart, Albert, Robinson, Linder, Can, Parnell. I still think that's the most likely scenario to me, going from left to right, is Albert, Robinson, Linder, Can, and then Parnell, which was probably the one that we got the most often still. I just, second-round pick, yeah. On this offensive line, I think he plays somewhere.
Which one has Robinson at right guard? Because that may make some sense since they've had AJ sort of entrenched at, you know, it seems like it's trending AJ toward left guard.
Yeah.
But maybe they do it that way.
If you were going to play, I mean, doesn't matter with Cam Robinson if you're going to play him at guard, whether you're playing him left or right.
I wouldn't think so. But that's maybe, you know, I'm sure they, you know, are you a predominantly run right team, or how does he move better if you want to pull him to the left? So I think there's definitely a lot of things they can have to consider.
What kind of year do you expect that AJ can?
I
mean, obviously his third year, they expected a much better second year out of AJ than they got. It was disappointing last year, which is what brings a lot of this into question. If AJ can had played the way I think they expected him to play in 2016, you wouldn't have, the level of questioning this offensive line would be so much lower than it is right now. But he did play the way he played. Do you expect him to see him take that step forward in year three?
I think he'll be a little better. He wasn't terrible as a pass protector last year. He's got to be a lot better in the run game. He was their worst run blocker by my charting. He was okay as a run blocker as a rookie. So if he can return to that form, he'll be an effective player. But you're right. Let's say AJ took a step forward last year. So you're going in this offseason. Okay, you feel good about you feel really good about two guys. Let's keep them there. Right guard and center. Mm-hmm. Well, that allows you to, okay, well, they like their right tackle, so he's staying put. Now you're three-fifths of the way there.
You added Albert and Cam Robinson.
So, okay, then you're at least, you feel confident about left tackle. So basically you're spending this time of year trying to figure out left guard.
Yeah.
Instead, they're trying to figure out left tackle, left guard, center, right guard. That's a big difference. And you don't want to say all that hinges up because one player took a step back. It kind of sort of does.
Yeah, and some people are asking, well, why isn't right tackle part of that too? I mean, that's...
Everything, if it was up to me, everything would be open except for center.
Linder would be your center.
And everything else is, I want to see what you guys got.
Yeah. What do you have coming up over the next couple days over there at Jackson?
A lot of stuff. Tomorrow we'll sort of have like a look at minicamp. I basically phrased it as, if fans are allowed to attend, this is what they should watch. That gives me a chance to write some storylines. Maybe Brandon Albert talks tomorrow. We get Blake Bortles this week. I think Allen Robinson, assistant coaches and coordinators, Thursday, so we'll have coverage of that Friday. And then Sunday is my first 53-man projection, which is always good for people to read and tear apart, which I encourage. So that will wrap it up, and we'll sprinkle some stuff in over the next 6 weeks. But a big week, and it's good to be going to be a good, busy week.
Yeah, Allen Robinson getting his first chance since these OTAs got started to answer by not answering about what he feels about not getting the contract yet.
Well, I think
he'll be asked about it. I don't think we'll get much out of him.
I'll probably meet you in the middle on that one.
You're going to be reading between the lines, right? I can feel it already.
Far be it for me to do that. But, I mean, he was pretty honest at the Super Bowl saying he felt he deserved it. Mm-hmm. The natural follow-up is, with that the case, are you surprised it hasn't happened more quickly? And also, is there an update? Are they even talking? Because he could also say, hey, it's not there yet, but I feel confident it'll happen soon. Well, that's what we need. You know, that's good information. So I think I look forward to Alan's comments on how, you know, what's it like working with Keenan? What does he see from D.D. Westbrook potentially? So a lot of good things for Allen Robinson to touch on.
No doubt about it. Ryan O'Halloran, thanks for joining me today.
Sure thing, Tony.
We'll see you out there for the rest of the week for Jaguars minicamp, maybe even have you in for roll call for a day or two.
Sure, just let me know.
Yeah, we'll see about that on Wednesday and Thursday at least.
Where they go?
I think they're 11 o'clock Wednesday and Thursday. Tomorrow they're afternoon.
Afternoon, 2 to 4 tomorrow, something like that.
Yeah, tomorrow they're later in the day. But I think Wednesday and Thursday they're at the regular time.
Yeah.
They're kind of mid-morning. So we'll talk to you a little bit later on in the week. You can check out what's going on with his Jaguars coverage on Jacksonville.com. For Tyler Devitt, for Ryan O'Halloran, for a vacationing Mike Dempsey, I'm Fat Tony. This has been a Wild West Guns and Gold edition of Jaguars Today. We'll welcome in the boys of the Midday Chalk coming up next right here on 1010XL.
You need tires, but you don't want to pay an arm and a leg. Well, I've got the answer for you. It's Tire Outlet and TireOutlet.com. If you need tires, they have tires. Over 300,000 tires in their local inventory, the most you're going to find anywhere on the First Coast. With every make and model you can possibly imagine, their warehouse is stocked floor to ceiling. Download the Tire Outlet app so you've got it with you. If you need roadside assistance, just log on. They'll have tires delivered to the retail location of your choice, usually within an hour. Wholesale pricing, premium service, that's the combination for Tire Outlet.
I'm telling you right now, I'm not even a lawyer. I'd have won that trial.
This is Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at Everbank Field.